Committee for Citizen Involvement to order. I was originally going to have a few opening comments to begin with, but since we're meeting as a CCI, we'll pass on that for now. So we'll start with our agenda for the evening. We have two agenda items, and the first is a request to review and approve the formation of a stakeholder working group in the College View UGB study area. And we have Linda Pauley here, Principal Planner. Good evening, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
Thank you. So in your role as the CCI, you're being asked to review staff's recommendation on this stakeholder working group. And this one's a little bit more complicated than some of the ones that you're used to, where we have a standing committee and we're appointing new members or we're forming a new committee. We're not calling this a committee, we're calling it a working group. And the reasons for that are many, and I'm not going to get into too much detail, but think of this group as a group of people that we're going to pull together probably 3 to 4 times, and then they're going to be dismissed. So it's not an ongoing committee that's asked to provide input to the Planning Commission, which is kind of like our normal citizen advisory committees that we have. It's more of a group to just bring input into the process that we wouldn't receive otherwise. And the council directed staff back in, I think it was October, to do some visioning for this College View study area, because when we had a neighborhood meeting down there last summer that the mayor and Gino attended, we had a lot of people from the CV Loop neighborhood. I think it was the mayor or Gino, someone questioned them at the end of that meeting, what's the city's vision, quote, for this area? You know, why are you doing this? Why do you want to expand the UGB into our neighborhood or adjacent to our neighborhood? What's the city's vision? And the response was, well, you know, that's not how we do it at Springfield. When we do visioning, we ask the people what their visions are, and then we provide that information to the elected officials, and then they make the decision. So out of that, I was tasked with putting a group together, and I made a proposal to council leadership, so, you know, back in the end of last year, with a process for appointing a group that I thought would be fair and open, so that it wasn't just, you know, me putting some names out to you and saying, please appoint this group. So what we did is we had a pretty significant visioning workshop on January 14th here in the library meeting room. And we have a mailing list that we've developed over the last several years of the urban growth boundary process. Anybody that has ever provided testimony or provided information into the record of the decision was invited. They're part of that list. And then that also kind of went viral with the groups that are opposed to the UGB down there. And so I'm confident that the notice of this open house went out to a pretty large group of people. Perhaps not a broad representation group, but definitely a group of interested stakeholders. So that's how we did it. And so the first workshop was open to anybody that wanted to come. We had over 125 people participate. We did 2 workshops back to back. And we had, I thought, a really good meeting. It was very productive. And they did a lot of work. And so that work will then be given to this next group, the stakeholder working group, and they'll be asked to get into more detail and to come up with some pretty high-level vision statements that could be then reviewed by the electeds and provide input into the process, especially as it relates to the uses that are currently permitted in these rural industrial, rural commercial, and rural residential zoned areas right now, and how those might change if the land was included in the UGB. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that we got people that had a stake in those areas and not, I mean, at the meeting on the 14th, I would say attendance was predominantly from the neighborhood group that is opposed to the UGB expansion, and probably maybe 5 or 6 or 7 people that were maybe neutral or actually own property in the study area, not the adjacent area. So it's been really tough to do the outreach to get more people involved. I did a mailing, so everyone that owned property or was a resident or business owner within the College View study area boundary received a mailing that invited them to the workshop and explained what this process was with my contact information.
Comment.
Sure.
Should have got.
Should have got.
The number of people we run into, I didn't get that, I didn't see it. We've seen it all, but I know that we tried very hard.
We really did, and I have to say, though, I did get a number of the mailings back because they said on there, no receptacle or no one at this address, vacant property, so there were some. I have asked people that I've talked to on the phone, you know, get the word out and let them know, so I feel that I've really exhausted as much as I can do in terms of letting people know that this process is happening. And so I believe that it was a fair open recruitment. We didn't put an ad in the paper for this. So it wasn't, you know, normally we would for some kind of a committee or a commission, but we did not for this. So I just wanted to be clear about that.
Well, there's been a lot of coverage in the media anyway, so I mean, if anybody's interested, then they would know through all those various means, even if they didn't get an official notification.
Any more questions about how we recruited for this? So at the meeting, and before the meeting, in the communication that I sent out to this big email list, I let them know that they could apply, you know, to be on this working group by coming to that meeting and signing up for it. And so out of that, we had, I think, 18 people signed the sign-up sheet. I told them that, you know, the group would be appointed by the city and that we're looking for a balance of different points of view consistent with the city's Goal 1 citizen involvement program. And so now you're asked to kind of be the final appointer of this group. And so not everyone that signed up, so your staff has made a recommendation and it's in attachment 2. And I just want to be clear that not everyone that signed up to be on it is being recommended to serve. The reason for that is I think it would be too many people. 18 people signed up and another 4 signed up for a group that will provide more input, a resource group. And, you know, in thinking about the purpose of this visioning group, I wanted to keep it to this, a size of a group that can fit around a table in library meeting room and have a discussion and not have it become too big that it splinters off into side groups. And I've found with my experience over the years that 18 to 19 is really the upper limit of that. Others can come and sit in the room and they can, you know, obviously it's going to be an open public session for anyone that wants to drop in, but the goal is to keep the number down and also to provide a balance of different perspectives. So, like, for example, one individual that signed up was the attorney for the Willamette Water Company, and I'm going to ask that he serve on the resource group instead of on the working group, just because, you know, he's representing a service provider in the area, and I think it would be good to get the perspective of Willamette Water. We already have a lot of information in the record about the water service down there, but he may have more or something to add. So that's just an example. And like Chris Orsinger from the director of Friends of Buford Park in Mount Pisgah, he would serve as a resource person as well. So he'll be asked to, you know, bring to the group, what's the vision of your group for the Mount Pisgah Buford Park, to make sure that everybody at the table understands what that vision is and how it might interweave with, you know, what happens with the urban growth boundary. So that's the idea, and trying to get people that actually either live in the study area or own a business within the study area.
I actually know Dan Terrell, and so he'd be he'd be great for at least giving information. So.
So if you have any comments about, you know, the kind of categories of representation that we've identified, if you think there's others that maybe should be invited, because they could be invited as a resource or other names or ideas, you know, this is open, but I would really like to try and notify the people that you appoint tomorrow, if possible, so that I can hopefully start this process on February 11th, a week from tomorrow.
Did David Resort go to ODAR?
Yes.
I didn't know that. When did he leave?
Just recently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, January 1, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we really want to have ODOT people there because the group has a lot of questions about what's going to happen with the 30th interchange. That seems to be a huge issue that we've heard in the previous three meetings now with folks down there. And we're going to need to bring in experts about farmland and some of the other topics. So that's why staff are in there. And I think it's important to have a Willamette Lane staff person there because a lot of the issues that are raised are about open space, connectivity, and bike paths and all of that. And I think a lot of really positive energy and conversations can happen out of this process. That's the goal. So I'm happy to answer any questions you have about what we've done so far or what you think makes sense. I think you'll see that we were still recruiting for some of the categories. Mm-hmm. I was able to get Dan Kuski. He is with Latest Motors, so they are a business down on College View. He doesn't know if he'll be able to attend meetings, but we're going to try to find a way to either Skype him in or figure out a way for him to provide input into the process.
And so you're still looking for somebody in the PISC area?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I still don't have really a farmer person, and the person I was going to ask to do it, his mother died last week, so I don't think that he'll be able to participate.
Did you have a sign-up sheet when you had this?
Or
did they leave? Not just that, but I mean for the 125 that had actually shown up for the... And I'm wondering if there's anybody on there that could be contacted.
Yeah,
with.
There weren't any farmers
Nothing.
That came.
No.
Okay. No, I have all those because we had sign-up sheets at all
sure.
the tables.
Okay.
We have one gentleman...
There were several people that
Charles
represented farm interests that were some of the more vocal.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't sign up.
Yeah, Charles Stewart, he signed up, and he is one of the people that is organizing the opposition to the city's proposal. And he owns property that he rents to, or he leases, I don't know what the arrangement is, to farming on the property. I know because I buy apples from his farm, Slow Farms. They sell at the farmer's market over in Eugene. But he didn't sign up as that category. I asked people to identify themselves as a category. And again, I sent this information to them in advance of the meeting as well. So, but we did have one ag business, and that was Gail Lant. She operates a horse sporting facility. So we thought that would probably qualify as an ag-related business. And then Mr. Penhaligan, I don't know if you if you know him, but he really knows the land, he knows the soils.
Yeah. He's done work for Willamette Lane and with the orchard and things.
Yeah, and staff met with him earlier in this process to ask his opinion on all the different study areas that we were looking at in terms of agriculture capability and viability moving forward in the future. And so he's really a good resource, and he has agreed to participate. Again, he won't be able to come to every meeting, but he can serve.
Have you done any kind of like a recent radio search or whatever and then started sending out based on like farmers and ag? So different?
No. Like, can you repeat that?
Well, like, you know, Arlid has an option where you can do like a buffer and then do like a radio search from a certain point and then maybe pull in some names that might be in the area, like for farmers of interest, and then maybe just sending them a direct mailing that to see if they're interested. I mean, just an idea.
And I also got another name, or someone's supposed to be sending me another name. It was actually Gail Lant, the flower farm down by Mount Pisgah. She said she was going to contact them for me.
Oh, good. Okay.
So, yeah, these people are great. I mean, they're trying to be helpful to help
us
fill this out. But thanks for your
idea. I mean, if you can always contact me if you need me to do any kind of a buffer, I can do it real quick, too.
So a question regarding ODOT staff. Do you want them as a resource, or do you actually want a member on the committee?
I think it could go either way. I just think it's probably going to be important to have the transportation people there at every meeting, because, again, that's one of the issues that comes up over and over again, is, you know, how are trucks going to go in and out, and what are the plans, you know, what are ODOT's plans, what are the county's plans for improving these roads? It's going to be a fundamental issue, and not just about auto and truck traffic, but about potential bikeways and, you know, potentially transit. Transportation's going to be really important in this.
Is there anybody, I know, aren't they still talking about Goshen being kind of a industrial area? Is there anybody that maybe would be involved in that?
The city is, basically, the mayor has said that that's off the table now. Isn't that correct?
For our study, yes.
Right. I just didn't know if someone was working on it, would maybe, because it's going to be linked through that road, so.
So Lane County staff, they'll be participating, their planning staff and their transportation staff. So again, they'll be kind of a good connection with what's happening or might happen in Goshen.
So your recommendation then coming forward is 15, is that correct?
I think so. Yeah. But again, it's still kind of floating until we can fill the other positions. So I've got 16, because I actually added, that's a mistake, 15. I added Dan Kuski's name like after the packet. I already went through the...
There's, as far as the news accounts, there's been a lot of, I think maybe emphasis on the negative aspects of people's thoughts on that. But mm-hmm. having talked with most of these people, do you have a feeling that the group would be able to work constructively, or do you think there's going to be a lot of hostility? That's going to be a battle to fight a hostile group.
No, I don't think this will be a hostile group. I think, you know, we've been really clear what the purpose of this is and what our expectations are. And I feel that we had a very productive, the big session we did, even with all those people, it was very civil. You know, people brought their protest posters in and put them in the front. But, and they actually did really good work. I mean, we've compiled all the comments into the different topics, and they really did good work, I felt. I know there was some concern expressed that, oh, these are just the anti-UGB folks that attended, from some of the people that actually live, one person in particular that lives in the area, that was expressed as a frustration. But I feel that staff is using my best judgment based on my personal interactions with people on this list. And some of them were new to me, like Corbin McBride was a younger gentleman that is an LCC student, but a Springfield resident. And he just had really good energy, and I thought, you know, it would be good to get his perspective on this. So that was someone that I met new that evening. Some of these other people I've met over the last several years of working with the neighborhood group.
Do you have a sense from these people what they expect the result of this process to be?
Well, I think, you know, the people that are against the city's proposal, they have an attitude going in, perhaps, that, you know, they don't want this to happen, but if it happens, they want to at least have a say in what happens and contribute to that process. So that's my sense of it. And I've been directed to do it, so I'm just doing what my boss is telling me to do, right?
Well, I would say, you know, this process, I mean, I think you've done a good job putting together this process. I think the outreach that you've done, and the public meeting that you had, or those public meetings that you had around January 14th, and you know, it looks like you got some good feedback, and it looks like you've assembled, based on the categories that you've identified of folks to be involved. You know, I think this, the makeup of this group is strong. I think you're dealing with the transportation issues, which I appreciate, which are going to be big there. You're certainly looking at residents and farmers, and you're pulling in a good cross section. Ross Penhaligon with OSU Extension is really, really bright and will be a wonderful resource to that process, I know. So, you know, I think you've assembled a good group. I think, you know, as long as the guidelines are clear and you have good opportunity for interaction, I think it certainly is going to be a valuable process moving forward. And, you know, I'm sure that the city council are very interested in you know, what the vision and direction of this group might be as we move forward. So yeah. my only feedback to the process, I mean, hindsight is always 20/20, but I would have liked to have seen this occur a little earlier on in the process, rather than the tail kind of wagging the dog this late in the game. So,
well, wasn't it true though that originally when the process started, this area was not the top of the list or really heavily considered to begin with, because of the fact that it's really quite a ways out from the city of Springfield itself? And I know it was primarily Mayor Lundberg that wanted this to be considered, simply because of access to I-5 and proximity to other possible development areas.
Actually, that's not entirely accurate.
Oh, is that
so
right?
This area has been in the city study since the very mm-hmm. beginning, back in 2008, because it has the exceptions areas, the land that's already zoned rural industrial, rural commercial, rural residential, and rural public facility. And the city's required to look to those lands first to see
right.
if it can meet our needs for UTB expansion. So earlier in the study, we actually had identified a much larger area. It was called CV Loop Study Area.
Yeah.
We had CV Loop Goshen areas 9 and 10 that were part of the original, you know, the preliminary analysis back when Echo Northwest was our consultant. Mm-hmm. So this area has been in the study from the beginning, and it's kind of waxed and waned over time in terms of responses to that. And staff had provided a recommendation to the council. We were asked to provide a recommendation, like a straw man proposal,
yeah.
to kind of get the decision moving forward back in July of 2013. And staff's proposal didn't include this area.
That's what I was thinking.
It included some larger areas that had more land.
Yeah, Jasper Road.
Yeah, so that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's
but
what
it's
I
been
was,
in the mix.
Because I was thinking originally the recommendation did not include the CV Loop area.
And when the Planning Commission's conducted a public hearing on those preliminary proposals back in 2010, they kept saying, yeah, that area, keep looking at that area, but try to avoid floodplain and try to avoid the farmland. And, you know, so staff's recommendation does those two things. Or, you know, the current proposal does those two things.
So how many times has that proposed boundary been modified since it was originally proposed? Because there's been a number of alterations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, these typically are iterative processes. So when you amend a UGB, it's always controversial. There's always,
move
you know,
here,
want it here, yeah. want it there. Yeah. And they typically happen over a period of years. And so it's expected that mm-hmm. that's going to change and
did
get refined.
Sorry. Did anything change after the FEMA redid their floodplain study at all? Was there?
Well,
I don't know if there was any area.
I can say that one of the reasons staff recommended another area, and it didn't relate to the floodplain in College View, but one of the reasons that staff recommended another area was because it had larger pieces of land that weren't in the floodplain because of the uncertainty around the mm-hmm. FEMA mapping and how that might affect future regulations.
Right. Okay.
That was one of the reasons that we were suggesting that the council might consider that other area, which was the south of Jasper Road, Mahogany
okay.
Lane area.
Yeah.
But the council didn't run with that one. They wanted to kind of keep it focused on the I-5 corridor for for reasons of, you know, the best industrial and commercial prospects for development, they felt, and also because we have that priority land down there that we need to look at first.
Well, I, as one member of the Planning Commission, I feel comfortable with the process and the mix of the group that you've staff has brought together here. I think this you've got a good cross section, and I think you should come away with some good information that will feed the process downstream. So that's one.
Well, I agree with the proposal as well, and I think it's important to maintain outreach and then keep an open dialogue with everyone that's potentially involved. So I think this is definitely a positive to keep moving forward and work with a group like this. So.
Thanks.
I think you did a good job too. Got a good cross-section of people. And like I said, you can always add, can you continue to add people to the resource group? So if people do come out of the woodworks, then they can get involved that way then?
Yeah, I was hoping that more people would come out. And, you know, a couple of people that signed up, I did contact them because I don't know what information they wanted to provide. And what I heard was that they just wanted to get their name on a list so they didn't miss any communications. So we'll have a really good process to communicate what's going on with this group so that everyone that has an interest, and there's a lot of people that do, are dialed in. We have the website's in really good shape right now, the web page for this, and we will be using that to actively post the results of each workshop. We have the results of the January 14th up right now. Anyone that's really interested can spend hours on there reading through all the material if they really want to.
Good.
Any other comments from anybody?
I just want to add one thing so that you know, as the CCI, that the hardest category of any of these recruitment of stakeholder committees, advisory committees, is always the business owners. Because as you understand, they're busy business people and they're working, and it's really difficult for those people to participate. So, you know, we're always looking for what are other ways that we can get input from these folks. And, you know, I've been successful kind of getting people to talk to me on the phone, but even so, you know, the phone's ringing and they got customers calling. Especially for a small business, it's really difficult to get participation. We found the same with our Main Street Vision Plan work. So hard to get people to come to City Hall. So it's always a challenge, and we continue to look for ways to reach those folks. So if you ever have any more ideas, please let us know. But we're working really hard to try and get that group to participate.
Well, it seems like there's a core group that's always involved, and then there's others where you kind of have to tug at a little bit to get them interested in all of these things. And of course, between that and conflicts with time, so it can be a challenge, I can imagine. So we generally have approval of this proposal from the group as a whole.
Do you need to make motions on this?
Well, under action requested, okay.
They don't need.
Okay.
Lauren says. Head nods.
Head nods.
Okay.
Thank you. Looks like we're having approval. Okay, then. There's no other questions or comments. Agenda item 2. They request to review and appoint 2 new members to the Downtown Citizen Advisory Committee, and also to review the committee member categories. Again, Linda.
Sure. So this is a longstanding committee. They were originally appointed for the Urban Renewal Plan, and then the committee was reappointed by you to serve as the planning advisory committee for the downtown CAC. Commissioner Moe is the current chair of the committee. And so attachment 1-1 shows you the current makeup of the group. We've had several vacant positions for a while, and those have been like the school district. We used to have a school
Jeff
district.
DeFranco.
And you have another one coming up.
Jeff DeFranco. Since Jeff DeFranco left, we haven't had anyone participate.
Oh, another vacancy?
Dan Egan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, too.
Well, Dan has not resigned from the committee, but we did appoint, you did appoint an alternate for him, and that's Angeline Pierce. So she's been filling in for Dan.
We don't know Dan's future that I am aware of. So.
So, So even, so these two appointments would be Devin Ashbridge for the Springfield School District representative, and the other one was Vincent Martorello representing the Historic Commission.
Well, I just want to tell the group I know both of these people very well. Vincent is the head planner for Willamette Lane Park and Recreation District, and you can read by his background and experience. He's very engaged in the community, and he's very bright, and I think he would do a really good job on the CAC. Devin Ashbridge is the communications person for this Springfield School District. She's young, she's bright, she's got lots of energy, and I think it's good to have a representative from the school district on this group, especially with the presence downtown that we have, that they have. And so I would support both of these individuals. So.
I think both of the applications were strong. I really liked their answers and their commitment to this. So.
I agree. They both seem like good applicants, and echo that with good responses to the questions.
I don't know about these people that type their applications.
Because they have a question or handwriting.
I don't know how they do that, but everything's by hand with me. But.
The city, Amy So, I think, created, somebody in a city manager's office created
PDF
those fillable
document.
Forms.
Yeah.
Really nice. My handwriting's horrible.
Yeah, you want to be able to have someone read it, huh?
But, you know, to go back to what you said about getting a business owner, you know.
Yes.
What's the vacant position?
Right.
You know.
So the idea was to change one of these categories from general public to downtown business or property owner. Again, with the intent of keeping the group to a manageable size. We did a recruitment for general public last time, and I think we did appoint one, and then that person resigned from the committee before they even attended their first meeting because something else happened in their life.
What if we try to contact somebody from the Chambers Group? Because the problem didn't get
involved. Do you know somebody?
Not anymore. Mm-hmm. But we've had some committees which somebody from that family group has attended or attended those meetings.
Yeah, I have an interested parties list for the downtown planning work that we did in the past, and I'm pretty sure that I had someone from that family that was on that list.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever attended, because we were doing more outreach for that, but that's a really great idea. I can, maybe John Temulonis or...
Kill two birds with one stone with that.
But we would be doing a recruitment for that in the newspaper, as we normally would do, to advertise the position, and...
I'll see who I know that knows somebody.
But I guess, you know, staff's question to you is, do you think that is a good category to add more recruitment in right now?
What's your percentage of attendance on these?
It's been fairly high. There was one meeting where we had a pretty low turnout.
Yeah.
And you meet how often? How often? Is it every other month?
We meet as needed. Okay. So the committee was told, we thought we were going to have our consultant on board for January, and there's been a delay with getting the contract approved. So they've been told you're going to be probably meeting every month for maybe 6 months in a row.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because we've got this code work that we're going to go be on a mission to complete.
I sort of put my nose in there and asked to be chair because I think downtown is very important and I wanted to be a part of that. Try to push it. So
really, you're going to be working on code revisions to
yes.
that supports the
downtown design standards.
Yeah.
So all the design standards for new development in the downtown will be looked at, kind of under a microscope to see. Getting the kind of development we want. We haven't had a whole lot of new development under the existing regs, which aren't that old. They're from 2005.
Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, when we went through the process to do the downtown urban design plan several years ago that the council adopted the new vision mm-hmm. for downtown, the consultant recommended some changes to that to implement the new vision. So those are things that are going to be looked at. So it's everything from the height of buildings to where the windows need to be on the main street and
mm-hmm.
All that stuff.
Because in a couple of years, there'll be a possibility of a new library that need to fit into all of those requirements.
Does this go as far east as 21st Street?
No, 10th.
10th
Street is the existing downtown refinement plan area. We are looking at some potential boundary changes to the refinement plan, again, to implement the vision for downtown. But most of those changes are to the north. There's, I think, about 13 properties that we're going to be contacting just to let them know that this has been proposed. So.
Good.
The other category that I was asking you to consider was the Community Development Advisory Committee. So the CDAC, they are the group that is appointed to review community block grant and our federal dollars that we get for block grant and home. We're going through a process right now to hire a new staff person for that in the city because Kevin Coe, as you know, left. And they had interviews last week. I don't know what the status of that is. But we're also looking at maybe some changes to the program. So at the time I wrote this, I didn't know what the status of the Community Development Advisory Committee was. I've learned more since then that I think it would be wise to keep that category on the roster. Maybe just keep it vacant until we figure out what's going on with CDAC. I can tell you that Karen Hagman, who's on the committee serving as a business owner, plan area business owner, she's also on that committee, so there is some communication liaison already within the committee. And then once the CDAC gets up and running again, if they do, then we could ask someone to volunteer to serve.
The CDAC has a meeting scheduled for February the 19th. Has that been notified since I'm on that group? So I imagine there'll be a lot of interesting news that will come out of that meeting.
So I think, you know, if the CCI agrees, staff would go ahead and recruit for the downtown business or property owner. You know, ASAP, probably do the press release tomorrow and get it out there and try to recruit for that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Looks like you got head nods all
okay.
around on that.
And I will let Devin and Vincent know that they've been appointed. And we'll go from there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay. And for our next meeting, which is going to be February the 18th, which is a Wednesday, we're going to have about four different topics to look at in a work session. We'll have our annual look at the capital improvement plan. And then be a preview of a couple upcoming hearings. One is a discretionary use, and another would be the proposed code amendments on marijuana dispensaries.
That one will most likely be moved out.
Okay. This was just from the last agenda.
I haven't got the confirmation on that yet, but I think it's been moved out.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about planning commission meetings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you start talking like it was, like this committee was...
No, this is the next meeting on February the 18th.
Which is planning commission.
For planning commissions, we're the CCA.
We're not planning commission tonight.
Yeah, you're CCA.
Yeah, no, but this is an upcoming meeting, which I'll let you know.
I understand that.
And then the fourth item is a discussion on the bicycle pedestrian advisory. So that's it for the upcoming meetings.
Okay.
Anything else? Then we will adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Good evening.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I will be gone.
Wow.